This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
Podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to a very wonderful special episode number 52 of The Payload. We are an Overwatch podcast from blizzbro.com. Today is January 13th, 2017 from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horseman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, from random spot place in California, it's Rosh. Hey, Rosh.
Hi. Feels like it's been a lot longer than just 2 weeks. Yeah, it was 2 weeks since our last one. It feels like, since our last one. And it feels like it's been way longer than that. So I'm excited to get into the show and talk about everything we have.
We do have a lot to talk about. It's been kind of a very interesting and a very movement heavy couple of weeks. For especially the competitive scene in Overwatch, right? Misfits, yeah. Completely gone, mm-hmm. Kind of. I think they're still looking to stay together. But Misfits, such a good roster. Really good team. Had some really great, big, major wins. Just didn't go through. Sounds like their funding strategies were incompatible with Overwatch League and kind of the combination of those things just kind of led them to go, oh, we can't do this anymore. So that's changed. We saw a bunch of movement with Team Liquid. So we had that going on, which we'll touch on later. We had, who else? NRG is looking at making some changes. Just staying around Seagull and Dummy, which, again, is going to be really exciting. So we've got a heck of a show for you. We didn't go to Camarillo, California. Hey, Jimmy. Hi. I'm so ready to talk Overwatch. I'm sun-kissed, but I missed the Overwatch talk.
Goodness. Well, yeah, I know. I'm excited to dig in a lot of this news and kind of speculation on what the future of the meta is going to be. We're going to be taking a look at kind of the future of the meta with the PTR and looking at the past that I think a lot of people are ready to quickly get behind us of the current meta in Overwatch.
Fair enough. Yeah. It's been kind of
rough.
Despicable. Yeah. Despicable. Hateful. Done. There it is. Well, you're back, Rush. You're back streaming now kind of full time again. You're back into it pretty heavily. Yeah. So
the streaming part of it has been fun. The ranked part of it has been not so fun. So I'm ready for these changes.
Me too. Well, let's go ahead and talk about our weeks. Before we do, though, we do want to let everyone know we're going to have a special guest next week. Skyline OW for Overwatch. Terrific YouTuber who makes incredible strategy-based content. He's going to be on the show next week. And we're going to take on some cool strategy segments and break it down. I believe he's a master or grandmaster player. So he's like a very skilled Overwatch player and makes great strategic Overwatch videos. So make sure to check out his YouTube.com/SkylineOW if you want to familiarize yourself with the content before he's on the show next week. But make sure to tune in live next week, 7 p.m. Pacific, Thursday night at twitch.tv/blizzpro. It'll be a good time. I'm going to see if I can talk him into playing a couple games with us after the show. And then we can have
that goes when we play with high-ranked.
We can have Rosh's and Skyline's MMR.
Yeah, you'll have both of us.
All right.
All we have to do, I'll hold up the Reinhardt shield. Lucio on speed boost.
Wait, I have a lower ELO account now. So, you know, for future reference, I have a second account now. So next week I'll play on the main though, so Skyline will be there. But then after that, I can play on the lower. Okay, it's fine. We're good now.
Okay, we're good. So stay tuned for that. That should be a lot of fun. So let's talk about our recent times in Overwatch. Rosh, what have you been up to in game?
So I am still too much of a baby to play on my main account because it's just when you get up to Masters and Grandmasters, it just becomes insane. So I've just been chilling on my Smurf account and playing on my Smurf account. And I think it didn't place last season. So this season, I think I placed it like 1900 on the account, and I've been playing up as a support, as a solo queue support on that on my stream. And it's actually been a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun playing Zenyatta. And since it's the lower elos, I can kind of get away with playing Mercy still without getting yelled at by all the other Master and Grandmaster players who don't want me to be on Mercy. So I've been climbing on that, and it's been a lot of fun. That's what I've been doing on stream lately. And I think right now it's Diamond, so I've gotten it from 1900 to Diamond over the last few days or so. So that's been pretty fun.
Nice.
And it reminded me, because lower elo doesn't really follow, you know, the lower in elo you go, the more it doesn't seem to follow the current meta. So you see a lot of picks that you wouldn't see higher up. And it just reminded me of season one and preseason and how much fun it was seeing DPS characters in the game. So that made me even more excited for the upcoming nerfs in a week. So I cannot wait.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes coming. It's hopefully a few weeks out from now, we'll be in a much healthier spot on the ladder. Jimmy, what have you been up to, man?
Just playing pretty casually, playing mostly arcade to try to get loot boxes and quick match here and there. Because like Rosh, even though I'm in the lower ELO, competitive is really rough right now. Mm-hmm. I wish I enjoyed it, but just not right now. I'll definitely be digging in when these changes go live, because I hope to have a little bit more variety of what we're seeing in the meta. And also this week, I keep forgetting about this event, but every week at the beginning of the year, Awesome Games Done Quick happens.
Oh, yeah.
And it pretty much takes over my life because I really enjoy the event.
That's the speedrunning thing, right?
Yeah, it's a speedrunning event for charity, and it's a blast to play. No Blizzard games this time around, but it's been a lot of fun to watch. But
what do you speedrun? That would be Blizzard.
Diablo 2.
Classic games. I forget all the Starcraft about that.
Games.
Fair enough.
But yeah, that's about it.
Fair enough.
Probably cool. Lost Vikings too, but that's a tough game.
It's a long time ago. Got to find a computer that can still run it.
Exactly.
All right. Well, as for me, I was chilling at the beach. So I got to watch a lot of the NGE stuff for the winter premiere. So that was great. But besides that, vacation is vacation, baby. And I'm just hanging back, relaxing. It was so much fun. Got to see volcanoes, got to see all that cool stuff.
How much Hearthstone did you play on vacation?
Not as much as you would have thought. I was planning, but we, no joke, we would wake up, we would go out for breakfast, go to a beach, new one almost every day, come back, take a nap, go to dinner. And then we played. I introduced Katie's family to Quiplash, if you guys have ever played Quiplash, the Jackbox games. That. And it was just a blast. The most nights we would hang out and do that. And so I didn't get as much time to play. I actually streamed once from Hawaii, though. I'm not diving certified. I couldn't come up with the $800 it costs to certify that at the last minute. So when they went diving one day, I hung back and streamed, worked on the show stuff and things like that. So we were on Kona, the big island. and it was really nice. It was a lot of fun, but it feels good to be back. I've loved being back in my studio. I've got tons of ideas for the shows going forward, so it's going to be great. Let's jump into the news.
This week in Overwatch.
All right, so this week we do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B, J.A., Coral, and Tommy H. Thank you so much for your support of the show. We're $34 away from our next goal, which is getting some well-met merch. Not well-met, the payload merch. Woo! I caught myself. Normally I don't catch myself, and I'll be listening to the show later on, and I'll be like, dang it, I did it again. So some payload merch we're hoping to have up. At store.blizzpro.com. I'm getting, talking to a guy about getting the payload and well-met tumbler glasses with like a white frosted logo so you can get the payload and well-met logo on there. So yeah, that'll be pretty sweet. So $34 away from that. Again, Adam B, J.A., Coral, and Tommy H, thank you so much for your support. We can only do this one more time, right? So the Overwatch holiday season is gone, and now we don't have to listen to that awesome soundtrack every week. But yes, so hopefully you all enjoyed the holiday event. It was a lot of fun. Did you guys get everything that you could have ever wanted for Overwatch holiday?
I don't think I got everything, but I got most of what I was looking for, and I ended up paying $20 for boxes when I said I wouldn't. I was I'm not going to buy boxes this time, and I did.
I wonder collectively how much you guys have spent on loot boxes.
I wonder collectively how much time you spent playing
Overwatch, Rash.
Okay, you know what? That is acceptable.
She probably has more Overwatch boxes than we've bought.
I probably have more unopened loot boxes than how many you guys bought.
How many are you at now?
So for the holiday event, I had to open like 50. So I'm still kind of tilted from that. But I think I still have 154. I think that's what I'm at. But I got my Zenyatta skin and I got the Lucio skin. I've been playing a lot of Zenyatta, so I figured it was time to, you know, splurge and open loot boxes and get the Zenyatta skin. And then I think I was sitting on like 5,000 competitive points because I just didn't know which golden weapon I wanted. So I finally broke down and bought the Zenyatta balls because it goes perfectly with the crackers.
The golden nuts.
The gold nut crackers.
My stream has had so much fun with my grand idea of buying the golden weapon for Zenyatta. So they love to crack jokes. But
like to nut crack jokes.
All right, I'm done. This is my last week on the podcast.
Guys. No, we're bleeding hosts right now. We're bleeding.
Yep, Shadow has a wonderful question in chat. How many of us got the
Oni Genji? Me. Me.
I'm mad. Okay, I'm, you know, all of my segment for this show you guys cover. I'm tilted. I'm not doing it anymore.
Did you not get it?
No, I got it. No, I didn't get it. I didn't get it.
What? That's so bad.
I feel so bad about not getting, not that I play Genji, but.
Me either.
When the Genji skin comes up on the welcome screen and I see it without the skin, I just, a little bit inside of me dies each time. And freaking Shadow's saying it in chat. He did offer to play. So many people offered to play HOTS with me. And I just kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And then I moved. And then when I got here, I really didn't want to sit down and play HOTS. And then the date came and went on the last day to get it. And then I cried a little bit. But I did get the Lucio skin for the winter too. So it kind of makes up for it for me. At least I got a skin that I'll actually use, but I'm trying. Yeah. I haven't been thinking about the Genji skin. Thanks for bringing it up.
Though. Yeah, you're welcome.
That reminds me though of a story. I was playing over the holidays and with a friend and we played the random hero brawl and I ended up with Genji and I was just telling my friend, I'm like, I'm terrible with Genji. I never play Genji. And I proceed to go on like a 10 kill streak or something nice. And end up playing as the game. It was really fun.
I actually played Genji on my stream. I played Genji on my stream a couple days ago. Someone was like, play Genji or Riot or whatever. And I was like, you know what? Like, forget it. I'll play Genji. And I was a pretty good Genji player. I'm just going to say, any of you Genji mains out there, you could learn a couple things from me. I could teach you some lessons below down after the podcast.
Dang. Yeah, we made a little bit of a day of it. So Katie is such an Overwatch addict right now. It's not even funny. She goes, I have to play Heroes of the Storm and I have to get it because I have to get this skin. I have to do it. And so her and I sat down with Pat Crane from Convert to Raid and Jules from Torn Think Tank. And we didn't do it as fast as we could have, but we just loaded up some bot games and played. We did it about 2.5 hours with breaks, and it was a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun.
That's pretty efficient for 15 games of Heroes.
Yeah, the bots were on hard. I mean, medium. I mean, easy.
Easy. So,
yeah, it was great. It was Katie's first jump into Heroes of the Storm. So, and I haven't played a whole lot of it. So, but I'm glad I got it. It looks great on my shelf, collecting dust on my virtual Genji skin shelf. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we've got news to talk about this week. We've got patches. Lots of stuff has been going on. First, we've got an emote wheel now. That's not live yet, though. That's still PTR, right?
Yep.
Where you have basically the choice of 4 different emotes. Is that how that works, Rosh?
Yep. You have a choice of 4 different emotes, sprays, or voice lines from within the hero gallery, so you can customize it to what you want. So it gives you a little more accessibility to what you want to use. I actually saw a meme of a Genji player, and all of the emotes, it just said, need healing, need healing, need healing, need healing. Because it's all the freaking spam when you play with the Genji.
You just have all 4 as need healing?
Yeah, just have them all as need healing. The entire wheel is just need healing. That's all you need to spam as a Genji.
There you go. Yeah, I'm really excited for this. If you guys ever watch me play Hearthstone, my BM game is so on point. Getting me 4 emotes is just, they're asking for something. I'm really excited about this. They turned that around pretty quick, though. Wasn't it the developer update before last where Jeff Kaplan was like, we're working on this. We think we have a way figured out for you to have, you know, more emotes and sprays. And within a few weeks, boom, it's on PTR. And I haven't heard of anything broken about it yet.
Yeah.
Except for my BM game is going to be broken. OP. OP. Nerf John's BM game. Let's talk about the bigger changes, though. Emote wheel's cool. Roadhog got a pretty big change to his hook. What's going on with this one, Rash?
Roadhog got a I want to say nerf, but I just want to also say fix at the same time. A lot of people are complaining about the two. His hook has been broken for a while, so I'm going to call it a fix, but at the same time, I'll call it a nerf too to satiate all of you guys out there so you don't yell at me in emails after this. Basically, with his hook, targets are now pulled directly in front of Roadhog rather than straight to him, except in cases where Roadhog drastically rotates. We were talking about this before. A good number reference for you is before Roadhog could turn a 180-degree turn and pull the target to him. Now it's about 70%, or it's about a 70-degree. So they changed that a little bit, so that should help. Also, hook targets are now released if they leave Roadhog's line of sight before being pulled. So that'll help a lot in those cases where, from your perspective, there's no way that hook should have gotten you. There's no way it should have pulled you to the Roadhog. There's just absolutely no way that they should have gotten a pick on you. That will help there. Also, they added line of sight checks, which detect if targets should be initially hit by the hook instead of... Sorry, I got myself confused. Which they detect if a target should initially be hit by the hook. They're now done from Roadhog's position rather than the hook's position. So it changes how you see it, and it changes how the hook detects if you should even be hooked in the first place. So being tested on the PTR from videos that I've seen, since I'm not a Roadhog hook player myself, it seems incredibly balanced, way more balanced than it was before. I rarely see a hook hit on the PTR that shouldn't have hit, or that shouldn't have hit the target. So it seems like they finally got it down after three seasons of having to deal with this. I think they've changed. They've tried to fix it before the line of sight checks. I think before they tried to add that into the game and it didn't quite hit the mark with fixing the hooks with Roadhog, and people were still complaining. So I'm really happy to see that they fixed it now and they've adjusted it and they figured out how to get it. What I've seen from the PTR and what I've talked to from friends on the PTR is that all of these changes have actually done what Blizzard wanted to do with Roadhog. And especially with the tank meta that we've been in, I think that it's going to shake things up a little bit. I talked to a friend who scrims with this team nonstop on live servers and PTR, and what he's noticed from the PTR changes is that with Roadhog hooks, it's still viable in the meta and it still could be used in a situational, and some teams are still like it, but you have to be, you make yourself a lot more vulnerable to go in for a hook. It's not an easy pick like it used to be, where you can hook someone out of LOS and then still get the pick. Now you have to be in line of sight of the enemy team, and that changes things drastically. We all know how huge Roadhog is and how easy he is to hit. So now that you're inside, you're in line of sight and you can't really abuse that broken mechanic, I'm going to say, it makes it a lot more of a decision on the team's part whether to run Roadhog, not an immediate pick that you need to have in the meta anymore.
It's just going to be interesting, though, because it was broken for so long. People got used to hooking with this broken mechanic that they're all going to have to adjust. So I think, like you were saying, the immediate change is going to be we're going to see a lot less Roadhog, or a lot less aggressive play of Roadhog, kind of just hanging back maybe a bit more. But I feel like after some time, people are going to get used to it and figure out how to use him again. And I think he'll still be relatively okay. But there definitely are hooks. I mean, just go search on YouTube for Roadhog montages. I mean, there's not going to be no more of those. So enjoy those while they're still up. But yeah, this is a good change. I'm happy that they're going ahead and doing this. And would have been nice to have this at the start, but what can you do?
I know there's still 3 months ago. I know that they're still hammering out some bugs yet with some of the rotation stuff. Like, there's still been some reports of people doing big 180 degree rotations when they should. Jeff Goodman said on the official Blizzard forum that it should be around 70 degrees is about where it should max. So overall, makes a lot of sense. I mean, I actually didn't even know that the LOS used to be based on the hook. That makes so much more sense to me now. It was now, broken. Now, it's like,
now it makes more sense where I was like, why did I get hit?
Yeah.
I remember thinking, because I used to have to tell people on my stream, and it was a way of not tilting myself when I would get hooked by a Roadhog, because I knew that it was from the hook. I don't remember when it was that they released. I think it was the last time that they tried to fix Roadhog's hook, or they tried to tweak it to where it wouldn't get insane hooks. It came out, they said that it was from the hook, and every time I would get hooked from a Roadhog, I would say, it's not from the Roadhog, it's from your position, because your position is where the hook picks it up from. So I would always just have to tell myself, like, there's no way that Roadhog could have hooked me. There's no way he could have gotten me. It's okay. It's from your position. It's from the hook's position, not the Roadhog's. Breathe, Liz, breathe. And I would just have to tell myself that all the time. So I'm glad they fixed it. I still definitely think he'll be played, especially, I want to say, like, on a double capture point map as the attacking team to try and get an easy pick, kind of how Hanzo used to be played. You just kind of tried to run him to get an easy pick, and if it wasn't working, you could switch, that kind of thing. I definitely think he'll still be played, and depending on a team's play style, it'll be usable in the meta, but I just don't think he's going to be an instant lock anymore.
Well, he just pushes out so much damage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Ana can do so much healing on a big, beefy Roadhog, right? Which, to go on to the next point, Ana saw some changes as well. So now Ana is her healing boost has been decreased by 50%, which is a big deal. And the biotic grenade duration now is reduced from 5 seconds to 4 seconds. And that one's relatively recent. When they initially pushed out the patch, that biotic grenade change wasn't live. And I believe it was like 4 or 5 days ago that they pushed out the next change, which decreased the duration of the biotic grenade. How does this one feel, Rosh? What do you think?
Okay, so the change is I obviously welcome any kind of on a nerf. I'll start with the biotic
grenade. Says the Mercy Man. Got it.
Well, I mean, I think says everybody, even Ana players at this point, know that Ana needed an adjustment. I think the reason they pushed the duration reduction from 5 seconds to 4 seconds is because of the massive decrease on the heal from it. So I think that they kind of balanced that out, but it's still a nerf. In the end, it's still a nerf on Ana. My opinion on it is that while it's still a nerf and I do welcome it, I don't think that it's great enough to change it right now. I think Ana, and the problem with Ana is that she just does so much healing. Her shots heal for 80 health and she has 10 bullets in a clip. That's a lot of healing that she can push out really fast, which is kind of what, you know, encourage this 4-tank meta, this 3-tank meta to really be a thing because she just does so much healing. So yes, they've taken a step in the right direction in nerfing that grenade. But in a way, I think it kind of harms the smaller health pool characters because that was a major way of getting them to full health really fast. Right. I think that before this nerf, she was in an amazing spot where she was super powerful. Post nerf, I think she's still really good. And she's, in my opinion, she's still going to be the A ranked healer that's picked in every single match in every single map. So I think that she will still be a very prominent character.
How much of that do you think has to do with the fact that as long as she's in line of sight of you, her range is basically limitless?
Yeah.
I feel like
that's a big thing too.
Like for me, a big part of it is I wonder if a good nerf would be to, when she scopes in, only have that be like damage. And then her unscoped could be damage or heal. I don't know if that makes it too confusing, but I'm just, when you have an Ana behind a Reinhardt and another tank, like you can't really kill the Ana. Except for on like King of the Hill maps where, you know, she's not very beneficial far away, but especially on 2-point capture maps, on hybrid and payload maps, having that distance just makes her such a pain in the butt to deal with.
Does the clip need to be reduced again back to where it was pre-buff?
That's what I was thinking. I don't know. What John was saying, though, with the scoped is I think that would, if you took the healing away on the scoped, I think that that would actually detract you from playing flankers like Genji and Tracers, where it's a little harder to hit them unscoped. So you kind of use that to hit them in the air. I think, though, that you are along the right track with the distance thing. I think something that would really help is maybe add fall off to her heals at a distance. If you're 80 yards away, it doesn't heal you for the full 80. If it hits you, it detracts and it slowly falls off the further away. I think that that might help it, and that might be a cool idea. But I just, maybe like you said, Jimmy, retracting the initial buff to her bull or to her clip size might be the right call, because I think she was still used beforehand. She just wasn't as amazing as she is now. And I don't think that a single support should be as amazing as she is before this nerf on the PTR. So maybe they do need to do that. Hey, even mercies shouldn't be that powerful. Yeah. I'm just saying maybe that would be the right call.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I think in the end, these are good changes, but I Ana doesn't feel finished yet. She just doesn't feel like she's in that right spot of utility just yet. D.Va also saw a change, though. So this is kind of a big one. We actually got into a conversation about this on, I was on a Discord channel somewhere. And when the notes went live, this person was posting all of the different changes and they didn't talk about this change. And he said, well, it's just not really that big of a deal. But D.Va's health and armor have been flip-flopped. So she now has 400 health, 200 armor instead of 200 health, 400 armor, which in my opinion is a big deal. Like, I think that's a huge nerf.
Yeah.
And for this person was just like, it's just not that big of a deal. It didn't include it. And I'm like, that's actually probably one of the biggest nerfs and changes to D.Va since launch, since like the defense matrix change.
Yeah, I actually have it in my notes. It literally says *, kind of a big deal, just so we can emphasize that. And if you don't know why it's such a big deal, it's because armor gives a damage reduction. It reduces the damage per individual hit by up to 5 damage. So it really punishes those like your tracers and your reapers and your D.Vas and your roadhogs, who they shoot out a lot of bullets, but those individual bullets themselves don't do a lot of damage. So cumulatively at the end of it, it reduces a lot more damage coming from a roadhog than it will from a Symmetra who channels all of her damage through that. It's just a massive difference to not have that armor there, which means now that she has less armor than she has health, you get through that initial 200 armor first, and then you can just, a Reaper can actually destroy a D.Va now. It makes it a lot more viable to characters like that, because you just have 200 less armor to get through. And with D.Va's defense matrix and how powerful her bullets were, how much damage they did, it made her hard counters not a hard counter to her anymore. So it's a big deal.
She feels a lot more healthy now, in my opinion. Like, it just feels like this is a bit more of where she should be at. Her defense matrix is still incredibly strong, and she'll still see a lot of play because of that.
Yeah,
because when you're eating Pharah ultimates and
Soldier ultimates and McCree
Zarya ultimates, I love it when they eat a Zarya ultimate. That's one of my favorite things, just disintegrates. Like, one of the worst feelings in the world if you're playing that Zarya. I think it feels pretty great. Jimmy, what do you think?
I think it's good, even though I've been playing a lot of D.Va, and I think all my competitive matches that I've won this season have been because of me playing D.Va. It's a necessary change, like Rosh was saying. Even Jeff Goodman posted in the Blizzard forums about basically the reasoning for the health switch was because like Rashid said, the hard counters were not hard counters anymore against D.Va. Mentioning Reaper and Tracer in that post on the forums. And they didn't, like John, you briefly mentioned, they didn't even touch defense matrix. So that is still a really solid tool. And I'm interested to see how she plays now. I think she still will see some play, just not in necessarily every single composition like it is right now.
Right. And there was one other small change to her fusion cannons, where bullet damage is decreased from 3 to 2, but the number of bullets per shot has increased from 8 to 11. So instead of doing 24 damage per shot, you're doing 22 damage per shot if you hit everything. But it's designed to feel a bit more consistent, even though it is technically a damage decrease. That is a small decrease. That's a small thing. The health and armor thing, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
But I think overall, D.Va, I'm really excited to see what teams do with D.Va as we get into the playoff portion of Winter Premier and forward, because we've been starting to see people with strats, but if that patch goes live during that tournament, I'm guessing they'll probably let it go live, right, for the tournament as well, and then we might see some stuff get changed.
And I think a lot of teams are kind of they know that it might go live because a lot of teams are scrimming on the PTR now. And that's a big thing to go from scrimming on regular servers, on live servers, to that, because it has to be a pretty big factor in their heads that if we are going to devote our time in scrims, there's probably a really good chance that Blizzard does push that PTR change through for the competition or for the tournament.
Right. Last but not least, in the major changes, with all these patches, there's always tons of UI changes and stuff. We normally don't talk about them unless they're big ones like the emote wheel. Sorry.
Well, I wanted to really quickly mention.
Okay, go ahead.
Since actually, I think a fairly important change is, did I see something about the kill feed? The ability that kill person is displayed now on the kill feed.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty big. I feel like it really, especially if you are not around to see what killed that hero and you see, oh, it's an ult that's on cooldown now. Mm-hmm. That'll help you make those decisions better. Especially for stuff like competitive where you're not necessarily all on comms, even though you should be calling out that ults are down.
Yeah.
You'll be able to see that now.
It's a big thing. I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, I completely forgot about that in the patch notes. That's huge. I remember months ago on my stream, I would tell people, you know, watching the kill feed is something that you want to do. If that's not something you're doing now, implement that into your gameplay. It will help you a lot knowing who killed who, when they killed them. If the Reaper is if you see a Reaper get a kill, you know he's still up there. He's probably hiding for a flank. Or if the Reaper suddenly gets 3 or 4 kills, hey, if you can't hear the ult, he probably used ult, because having ult timers kind of going at the back of your head while the game is going on changes everything. If you know that Zarya has ult, you can play around it. If you know that Reaper has ult, you know to watch for a flanking Reaper jumping down on you, and it can save a game, especially if you're a support player. So it's definitely huge, and if that's not something you're looking at, it's something that you should change and implement into your playstyle to do. It will help you a lot, I promise.
Yep.
Yeah, and the other two things are the ult abilities are indicated with the orange arrow, and headshots are indicated with the red icon. Headshots you don't necessarily need to know about, but
brag.
You can kind of brag about
brag. It, red arrow, baby.
GG easy.
Right. Oh my gosh. So last but not least, Sombra as well. Her hack cast was reduced from 1 second to 0.8 seconds, and her hack cooldown is reduced from 12 seconds to 8 seconds on the PTR as well. So we're already seeing teams starting to implement Sombra in some key situations. This can only help with that, I would assume. Faster hacks and more frequent hacks has to be pretty good. Putting a whole hero on lockdown during a team fight and building that ultimate is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, one thing with all these patch notes and patch changes that I have noticed on the PTR and talking to people who are scrimming on the PTR is that they are saying that 2-2-2 meta is coming back. So 2 support, 2 tanks, 2 DPS. So don't get too excited yet, Jimmy, because they said that 4 tank meta seems to be pretty out with the changes to Ana, but 3 tank meta seems to be pretty prevalent still on the PTR. But that 2-2-2 meta is slowly coming back, and each day that the PTR has been out, you've been seeing more 2-2-2 comps going. So we can revel in that. We can be excited for that. That also means that with this added Sombra buff, she was already seeing some play on double capture point maps, for example, where you want to dive past the initial choke. You just use her as a distraction. I think with 2-2-2 becoming prevalent again, you might start seeing more Sombra comps in meta now and in competitive play and in tournament play now. So I'm excited to just see a wider range of characters again for the first time in so long. And I think that you might, with this buff, you might actually start seeing more of her.
Yeah.
This makes me happy.
Yeah, I know. I could tell.
See you later. So those are the big changes right now we have going on in the game. Anything else we want to hit on these notes here, or can we talk about some esports?
I think we can talk about some esports.
Sweet.
faster than sight.
So predictable.
Hutta on!
Ready for battle.
Oh, yeah. So the winter premiere has been going on for the last, it's actually started back in December, but the group play has been going on this past week. And there have been some really big games going on, lots of big teams. However, most noticeably, Cloud9 and Fnatic both dropped out last minute. We don't know why. NRG declined an invitation as well to this. Sorry, Raj, what were you saying?
Cloud9, yeah, we don't know why, but was I dreaming when I saw that Cloud9 just went to Korea for the Apex season 2?
Oh, yeah, that's right, Apex season 2.
Yeah.
That's a good reason to turn down the tournament, I feel like.
Yes, I think NRG's there too, right?
NRG is there. Who was it? Someone on NRG tweeted out and got fined by OGN.
For Envious. That was Taimu.
Or Envious. Taimu. Yeah. Oh,
Taimu got fined.
I think that's a pretty good reason for Cloud. I'm not sure about Fnatic why they did, but I think that seems like a pretty clear reason why Cloud9 may have dropped out.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I forgot about that because that was pretty recently where all the stuff got leaked about Apex Season 2. Mm-hmm. But that's starting January 17th, I believe. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up really soon.
Yeah.
If you want to do what I did and wake up at 3 a.m. to watch those matches, let me know. We'll hang out in Discord. Because it was pretty cool.
I used to all the time with StarCraft, and I don't know if I could do that again with Overwatch.
Oh, man.
I'll catch the VODs.
They did have FaZe Clan and Citizen 7 take over, so take their spots. They were at the top in the group play below the top 8, so they just bumped them up into the top 8. So, nice. It's cool. FaZe Clan, we've seen quite a bit of, obviously, Shadowburn and Too Easy are, you know, two of the big names on that roster. And Citizen 7, kind of an out-of-nowhere team. I don't think they have any A-list players. I don't think they have any, you know, kind of huge streamers or any really recognizable names, at least when I looked at the roster. But they played well. They had some times where they were playing, you know, fairly well. But definitely, you would have to think for a team like Citizen 7, just to be able to qualify for a premier tournament like that, and be able to play against some of the best teams in the world. It's just a great experience no matter what, right?
And they got $3,000 out of it, so they got a little bit of cash for their efforts.
Yeah, that's very true. They it's $500 a player, man. That's not bad.
Yeah, not too
bad. Take them $500 for playing video games.
And honestly, there's something to be said about playing against the best teams and some of the best teams in North America and in the world, to just learn from those experiences, because this tournament was unique in the sense that it was a round robin. So every single team played each other in this first round.
Right.
And I'd like to see more tournaments do this because it's better experience for the teams. And I think you're guaranteed to see a matchup that you want to see.
Right. Right. So, Jimmy, I know you've been keeping a pretty close eye on this overall. So what are we looking at here? I believe we've got the is it playoffs or they have another day of they do a round of six round robin, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of interesting. There's a lot of games being played for this tournament. So what's going on?
Yeah.
Round robin of six.
Yeah, the round robin of six is going to feature, obviously, the top six from this tournament, which ended up being Immortals, Kungarna, Team Liquid, Renegades, Luminosity, and Complexity. Mm-hmm. Immortals just looked really solid. They went 6-1. The only team that beat them was Kungarna. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm so sorry. But yeah, Immortals looking really strong. Liquid's looking okay. And actually, if you look at the round eight rankings, FaZe wasn't too far behind Complexity. They went 2-5 and Complexity went 3-4. So they were right on the cusp there. I'm a little disappointed that they didn't get out of that first stage just because they looked so strong at MLG Vegas. And I really liked what they brought to the table there.
Mm.
But maybe just this tournament format didn't work for them. Maybe they play better on LAN tournaments, because that's actually a thing. Some teams just play better in live environments, which is kind of odd to say, but it does happen. But yeah, we're going to have these next matches coming up on the 17th. So each day features 5 matches, best of 3s. So lots of Overwatch to be watched.
Yes.
And yeah, you can actually catch the VODs. I was looking at their YouTube channel, and I forget what the exact address is. I'll get that for you in chat or something. But yeah, you can catch up on all the games so far. But like we mentioned at the top of the show, we looked at the future of Overwatch, and we're now looking at the current of Overwatch. And pretty much every single game I saw was either 4 tank 2 support, mostly D.Va, Reinhardt, Zarya, Roadhog, Ana, and Lucio, or 3 tank 2 support, 1 DPS. D.Vart, Reinhardt, Roadhog, Lucio, Ana, and the DPS was generally Soldier, Far, or Reaper. But also, we saw quite a bit of Symmetra, especially on some of these defense point maps like Hanamura. So we're seeing a little bit of variety here, but obviously everything is going to get shaken up with the new patch. So the games are still pretty fun to watch, but a little bit stale because of the amount of tanks we're continuing to see. So it's just this poking back and forth until someone dies, makes a mistake or whatever, and then they jump in, take the point, and rinse and repeat.
Right. I think the most fun out of watching the games was seeing that when they would run the 3 tank, 2 supports, 1 DPS, was seeing that DPS really shine, because there were some Pharah picks that you saw and you were like, oh, Pharah's not that meta, so you don't play. But it would just, whoever was on Pharah would just destroy as Pharah, and it was fun to watch. And it brought me back to when DPS used to actually be a thing in this game, and it made me reminisce, and I just want to see it again. It was so fun watching these games when you were watching a McCree, just when you were watching Surefour just pop off on McCree, he would go crazy. And I can't wait. I really hope that these upcoming nerfs on the PTR do change this a bit, so we see more DPS, not only in playing personally and competitive, but seeing the games in esports, it makes a massive difference. Just the plays that you can make and the outplays that you can make on a DPS character is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been pretty fun to watch overall. I've really enjoyed, Jamerson's been crushing it on the spectator side of things. So if you didn't catch last episode, we had Jamerson on the show, and a big reason why we just can't have him back every week is because he's doing awesome spectating and casting work for Blizzard. So, yeah, it's been great. It's been really fun to watch. Every tournament, I say this every time, every tournament just gets easier and easier to watch. And so...
Yeah, okay. Speaking of easier to watch, one thing I noticed on the overlay was now they started putting the attacking and defending teams, like they put an icon next to which one's attacking, which one's defending, which helps me a lot, just because I don't necessarily immediately remember who's on which team.
I feel like such a pleb when I was watching the games before they did this, because I'd be like, wait, are they attacking or defending? Like, was this good for them? Was this a good ult for them? And then I look up and I'm like, oh yeah. So it actually does help, just because especially when you watch so many games, like, you're going to forget who's on which team at some points, and it helps a lot.
It's such a small thing, but it really helps the spectator experience out quite a bit. So I'm happy to see them do this.
Yeah, I've been saying this, and I think they need to figure out something, though, to where the colors aren't just red and blue. I know they're great.
Yeah.
For like playing, that's fine. For spectating, though, you can only put the names there, right? You can put the team names there. But there was a game, I think it was FaZe and Team Liquid, where FaZe was blue and Team Liquid was red. And I think of Team Liquid, I think of baby blue, right? And when I think of FaZe, I think of red. And, you know, just being able to say, oh, this team is, you know, this color. And it would be like more neon variants. But I think that could just really help a lot, too, for the spectator experience overall.
I agree. No, I agree.
Yeah. Oh, that was about the only thing I could think of. I'm definitely going to be watching this. Definitely going to be watching the Overwatch Apex Season 2 as well.
If you had, if you didn't watch Apex Season 1, awesome.
So good.
You should definitely check out Apex Season 2. Everything Monty, about it is just so good.
Monty and Doa are back for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they,
I believe so.
Actually. Well, yeah, they're full-time into Overwatch now. They've stopped
they officially
doing
announced
lately.
That they weren't doing League
and that's
anymore.
Huge. It's huge. Big deal. They're so perfect. I think they fit it perfectly. And I think that they caught on to the game knowledge and everything really fast, which is really cool to see for Apex Season 1. So now with Cloud9's like my favorite team.
Yeah, that's what happens when you've been casting games so long in a variety of games. Like Doa's done StarCraft and Hearthstone and all sorts of stuff.
I remember his Hearthstone days.
I can answer your question about why Fnatic dropped out. They're also at Apex.
They are. Perfect.
Oh, there I didn't realize they were at. Gotcha.
So there you have it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense because that, I believe, is still $168,000 pool.
I haven't seen anything about it changing.
It was the same, but I guess because of conversion rates being down, it went from 178 last time to actually like 168 time, even though it's the same.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's kind of insane.
This is kind of silly. I just noticed this, but if you get 13th through 16th at Apex, it's less money than they would have gotten at the winter premiere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a LAN and a all paid trip to Korea.
Yeah, it is. But
and it's the publicity.
Publicity. This is very traditional for Korean tournaments. Is like the top end just has a boatload of money.
Well, OGN has their own freaking esports stadium there, right? So
yeah,
it's gonna be awesome. I'm really excited for that. So that's it about for the winter premiere. There's one other thing that I kind of wanted to hit on. NRG. So if you watch Overwatch streams, there's a good chance at some point you've spent a good amount of time on Seagull's stream. He's by far the most popular streamer when he does stream Overwatch. And one of the coolest guys, not so great at handshakes, but besides that, he does every. Yeah, he'll never get to live that down. That sucks.
One of my favorite things.
Yeah. It was like on Jimmy Fallon and oh man. So NRG is going through a little bit of a rebuilding phase. They haven't done well really ever. Like when you actually look at it, they really haven't done well. They've had some good players. I really liked when they had Gods on the team. Gods was one of my favorite players to see. Seagull and Gods. I'm kind of duoing it together, but they just really haven't performed at the level everyone feels like they should have. And it stinks because when you watch NRG, they're the ones picking really off meta hero picks. They've got some really obscure strategies, but they just don't win one-on-one. And so they're looking at doing some rebuilding. It sounds like, from what we know, Seagull and Dummy are going to be kind of the cornerstones of that roster and building around those two. So what do you guys think? Is it too late? Is NRG just out of it? Do you think they can fit up or pick up some of those Misfits players maybe and still pull out of this here? Okay.
With Energy, is it wrong to say that it looks like they were just trying to pick up players that were in the spotlight, especially with like Gods and Steel? I just feel like they were more focused on picking the popular players that they knew were good instead of trying to create team synergy and people that they played really well with. Anything that I've read about teammates leaving from Energy, they're saying, oh, you know, they're leaving because we just didn't vibe well as a team. We just didn't communicate well, all of this. Anytime I think of Overwatch Spotlight with a team, I think of Energy. I just always feel like they're in the spotlight for, oh, this is going to be so great. Oh, they're going to do amazing. Oh, they're, you know, their salaries are this and this and this. And it just kind of always seemed like it fell short. And I think that might be their biggest thing. And I think that's what they need to focus on.
One of these times it'll work.
Yeah, one of these times.
Yeah.
So hopefully this team rebuild will boost them back into the spotlight.
They just need to
find people who are going to be able to work together, because it's a team game, and that's the big block of having a great Overwatch team, I feel like.
I remember the South Korean team at the Overwatch World Cup spoke exactly to that. He goes, "We're like one of the only teams that practice as, you know, teams. You know, everyone else was a group of individual, and it was a popularity contest. It wasn't designed to be the most competitive Overwatch would see all year. Huck was on Team Canada, for goodness sakes.
Don't get me started.
So, you know, and Huck's, I mean, he's not bad. I believe he's Grandmaster now. He's, you know, a top 500 player, he's just not a professional Overwatch player. So, yeah.
Thing is, like, there's, like any game, there's this, that you see, oh, they're a grandmaster, they're really good at this game, but there's also this huge gap between the pro players and just someone who's in grandmasters.
Yeah, right. Huge gap.
Yep, totally different. I agree. Oh man, what else we got here? Anything else? Are we gonna call it?
I think that's it.
It's a little bit of a shorter podcast because I just got off vacation.
Isn't this the normal time that the podcast is supposed to be? And then we've just got so used to having it be 90 minutes instead that became the more norm. So isn't this technically how long it's supposed to be?
I think so.
I mean, I like an hour and 15. 75 minutes is my sweet spot. Feel like we get to talk through things, but normally we have a strategy segment we try to go through every week. We didn't get to this week. True. But we definitely will have some awesome stuff for you in the strategy world next week with Skyline on the show with us. I'm really excited about that show. If you can make it out on Thursday, 7 p.m., you should. I think it'll be a lot of fun. We'll be taking questions from chat, and it'll be a lot of fun, but
time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
All right. Eldorian in chat says, no, Kevin, automatically cuts off 30 minutes. Yeah, maybe. Having that fourth person, though, you know, we talked about, we are looking to eventually bring on back a fourth person, just because, number one, the diversity in the different outlooks on the game is really important, number one. Number two, this is a lot more opinionated type stuff than like Hearthstone. You know, we do a three-man show for Hearthstone, and man, we can just go for a long time about it. And it's a little bit harder with Overwatch. So we are still looking for that fourth, but we're not going to just rush somebody in. Instead, what we're going to do for the time being is bring on awesome guests and beg them to come on this show full time, basically, is what we'll do. And they won't even see it coming. So so we've got that going for us. Let's emails. We didn't get any emails this past week, as far as I can remember. I was also on vacation though, so it's very real chance I saw your email at the beach, flagged it, and forgot about it. My bad, but I don't think we did. Jimmy, what do we got going on in Patreon world?
We have all sorts of wonderful stuff happening in Patreon world. But first, we always have to thank our MVPs, Adam B, J.A. Coral, and Tommy H. Thank you so much for your wonderful support of the show. We all greatly, greatly appreciate it. As always, if you like the show and want to show more support of the show, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast to find out all about the wonderful tiers that we have and all the great rewards there. We're so close to that $200 merch store. We're $34 away. And we so also close. we also have one new patron, Liam O. Thank you so much for being a part of the Payload family.
Nice. You got a new one. I'm excited. Welcome, Liam. We'll be chatting with you soon. Raj, what do we got going on iTunes review land?
All right. So for iTunes, five-star reviews help us immensely on a week-to-week basis. So huge shout out to Johnny Destructive for leaving us one this last week. If you haven't left a review and would like to support the podcast in an amazing and incredibly easy way, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts.
Do we say the guy from Brazil?
Did I just say Johnny Destructive? Destructive.
I might have just totally missed it. I might have just said
Johnny Destructive. Okay, so huge shout out to Johnny Destructive and Ace. Ace asterisk.
It's thank actually you guys so much dot. For leaving us. Ace, how did you do that? He made it. Well, that's yeah, fancy. I don't know how to make a dot. So I just like asterisk, carrot, asterisk, carrot.
Oh, okay. Gosh, yeah. I was confused why it was asterisk, carrot, asterisk. Okay, that makes a little more sense. Well, huge shout out to Johnny Destructive and Ace then. Thank you so much for those 5-star reviews. They help us out insanely. Again, if you haven't left one, you can do that on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts.
Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and get out of here. But first, where can people find you, Jimmy?
I'm at DJ Tyrant. I'll post any content I do throughout the week there. Hope to be doing some more streaming soon, TM.
We've never heard that before from hosts on the show. That's
no,
like every week.
It never happens. but it'll just be really bad, low ELO competitive if you want to watch that kind of stuff.
Nice. And then, Rosh, what about you? Shoutouts for the week and where everyone can find you.
Where everybody can find me, you guys know my stream. It's twitch.tv/okayitsrosh, but you can also find me on Twitter. I'm super active on Twitter. It's twitter.com/f2k_okayitsrosh. You can follow me there as well. I always post when I'm going live, if I'm taking a day off of streaming, what's going on in my life. You know, sometimes I post funny pictures of iguanas or bearded dragons. You know, you can find it all at my Twitter. What am I doing this week? I think I'm going to finally do my placements on my main. I don't know. Maybe with the new merch.
Finally.
You can do your placement.
Finally, do your placements, Rosh. Come on.
What do I have, like a month left of this season? Oh, right. Man. Yeah, I think I'm going to finally, with the nerfs and the buffs and everything going out, I'll probably maybe still finally do my placements on my main. But if I don't and I chicken out and I'm a baby, you can come yell at me at my stream and call me that, but I will be doing ranked on my Smurf, trying to get it up to see if I can still solo queue a support to Masters. So one of those, either way, I'll be doing ranked somehow on the stream all week, so you can catch me there.
Nice. Well, as for me, I'm back now, so I'm going to be streaming starting Sunday or Monday. I'm actually going to be doing a 30 days of streaming streamathon. Oh. So I'm going to stream 30 days straight. It'll be really cool. I have some goals set up, and I'm going to be giving away Hearthstone coaching. I'm going to be giving away some T-shirts. Be giving away. I don't know, whatever else. Well, it's going to be pretty cool. We'll have some guests on. A lot of amazing Hearthstone players are going to be coming on and joining me for that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be at twitch.tv/kickedtripod. I also have my own Discord set up. So if you want to hang out with us in Discord throughout the week, go to kicktripod.com and you can actually just click on the Discord link and it'll take you right to my Discord room. We have a lot of fun there. There's just a nice little group of like 75 people hanging out, talking about Hearthstone, Overwatch, technology, all that stuff. So it's really neat. It's a lot of fun. You should definitely come hang out and follow me on Twitter at Kicked Tripod. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thank you for tuning in to episode 52 of The Payload. You can find more great Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. The show records live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzpro. And we are on Twitter at Payload Podcast. Man. Ooh, I've got a frog in my throat. Oh.
You get there?
Oh, my gosh. It's been so weird this last week. I don't snore ever, but because of the changes in Hawaii, I was snoring every night.
Oh, no.
Every night. I think that's still right there. Anyways, the Payload is primarily supported by you, our fans. Join the Payload family and find out how you can support it. Patreon.com/PaylodPodcast. We love your emails as well. Email us, thepayload@blizzpro.com, and 5-star reviews, of course, we love as well. Take a second and leave a 5-star review. We'll mispronounce your name on the next show. And, of course, a special thanks to Jake Butno for our music. This has been episode number 52. We'll see you next week. Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye.